All right. It is a good time to be a starting pitcher in this Mariners rotation. A big reason why is my next guest joining me in the EQC studios, Bryce Miller. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, man. I've been wanting to have a chat with you for a while. We've talked a little bit, but man, it's been fun to watch since you got to the big leagues. That is for sure. But right now, early on here in 2024, I know winning helps, but from a starting pitcher standpoint, how much fun are you guys having, you and some of your rotation mates?
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun. It's obviously a lot more fun when you're having success. And the whole staff has had a lot of success so far. So, We've had a lot of fun, and it's been fun watching other guys go out and pitch, and it's been fun, you know, with whenever I'm on the mound also.
It was a little shaky coming out of the gates though, right, in spring training, because you guys had so much hype and so much expectation. And, you know, you are still like a young rotation. I get it, man. Like George Kirby made the All-Star team last year. He's a stud. I get it. Luis Castillo. Logan's had a couple really good years, but he's starting to have a true breakout year. But then you've got yourself. Then Emerson Hancock's filled in now for Brian Wu. Maybe he's coming back. But, man, it is a ton of expectations. You're such a young staff, right? Did you feel that coming out of the spring training at all?
Yeah, I mean, in spring, we knew we were going to be good. And we knew we were going to be able to throw it. So I think it was more – it was expectations, but we expected it out of ourselves too. So it's kind of like the standard on how we knew we were going to be. And then we also knew the bullpen was going to be really good too, you know, coming off of last year with the additions that we made, like, we knew we were going to have a chance to, you know, be in every game.
Were you guys like, especially the first week or so, you're looking around going, hey, what's kind of going on? It was a little shaky out of the gates. Was there any of those conversations? I know, like, for me, it was always during batting practice. You're standing out there, like, you know, two or three dudes, and you start, like, looking around going, like, what's going on, man? Like, what is happening? Especially Scott Servais talked about that too. You know, going into that first road trip, you know, and the trip where'd you guys go? You guys went somewhere, then you went to Toronto. I'm trying to remember where you guys went. First roadie. Where was that?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee.
That's right, Milwaukee. Yeah, that's right. And he talked about, like, you know, kind of clicking as a team and like, you know, teammates and stuff, because it's not the same in spring training, right? I mean, you go in, you're getting there early. Everyone's kind of on their own program essentially, but then you're on the bus together, you're on that plane together, and so things start to change. But that first road trip, if you can remember. Was there a little bit of that, those conversations happening during batting practice with you guys trying to figure out what the issues were, like, you know, coming out of the gates?
I don't really think so. I mean, I think, you know, we didn't start out hot and we didn't start how we wanted to, but we didn't ever really, like, hit any panic buttons or anything. It was, you know, we were below 500, but we were, like, what, 10 or 15 games in or even less than that. So it's like, obviously you want to win every game, but, just knowing that there's 162 games, like it's going to come around. And with the talent that we have, like we knew it would happen. So it was kind of just like trusting the process. And, you know, we thought we had an extra week of spring training or something, and we just didn't get started out slow. So, it came around.
Hey, you know, last week I had to throw this out there, and I kind of waited for the Braves series to throw it out there. And I'm sure you're well aware, man. You don't have to be a Braves fan, but back when I was a kid, you know, late '90s when I was coming up, it was Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddux, right? They were the three in that Braves rotation. It's kind of like legendary. So I had to put it out there. I said, hey, I put this tweet out there, and I got some mixed reviews from Mariner fans, and then some Braves fans chimed in, and, you know, it tore it up a little bit in the comment section for sure. But I said, could this, since we were playing the Braves, you know, could this Mariners, and it was 90s night, by the way, but the tweet was, could this Mariners rotation be as good or better as Smoltz, Maddux, and Glavine back in the day? As we're witnessing a similar era of greatness? Now, I'm not putting these expectations on your shoulders. I know you're sitting in front of me. You're going to sit there and make comments. But I'm not going to ask you if you guys compare yourselves to that. I'm not even going to go there. But I did talk to John Smoltz just the other day. I was doing some radio and he was a guest. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to bring it up to him. And he had a great answer. He wasn't like, oh, well, he talked to me in a decade or any of this kind of stuff. It wasn't like that whatsoever. But John Smoltz, he made a great point. And he said the reason that that rotation functioned the way it did and the reason there was that competition is because there's no egos involved. And he said that if you're in a situation where you have some egos involved, when you have three guys dealing or even five guys or four, whatever, and you have some ego involved, man, it makes it really tough. And that's where that dysfunction comes in when you're talking about some of the competitiveness. So I want to ask you, we're talking about this rotation in regards to that healthy competition. Do you feel that healthy competition with these guys around you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's whenever – you know, like we had the 21 game streak of two runs or less. Like it was, you know, it's a lot of fun. And it's like every day you watch somebody go out and compete and go six or seven innings. And then your time comes around. And you're like, well, I've seen, you know, the other guys have done it for the last 20 starts. So you got to keep it rolling. Right. And you just kind of feed off of each other. And like, I think like for me, you look back to the first start of the year, like I wasn't attacking the zone like how I did last year, and I wasn't getting ahead of batters like I want to. Yeah. And, you know, after obviously I'm trying to do that, but, you know, it just reinforces it after like I don't do it. And then I watch four guys do it after me. And then I'm like, all right, that's all I need to do is just attack and get ahead and put myself in good counts and, you know, things work out. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, watching those other guys and then getting out there and competing myself. Like, every day we know we're going to be in the game.
Is there someone in that rotation who you mentioned that first start, not attacking the zone? Like, is there like a Logan Gilbert who kind of, you know, pulls you aside, and not to say hey, you need to start attacking the zone, but kind of pulls you up on it or has that conversation, something he sees or any of that kind of stuff?
Not really. I mean, after our first series, we kind of had it was after Castillo's bullpen or something. Cause all the starters go out and watch the other bullpens and stuff. And, we kind of like had a little talk like with all of us that were out there and with Woody, and just kind of like, well, what was our takeaways from the first series? And then I was like, well, pointed at me and Castillo, I'm like, the two that didn't get ahead and didn't attack the zone like we're supposed to had the two worst games of the first series. So it's definitely correlated. But that was the only talk we had. But anytime I have any questions or if any of us see anything with the other one, like none of us are afraid to go up and tell the other, you know, whoever it is, what we see, because, you know, we all know that we all have, you know, valuable information that we can help each other with.
Is that even a situation like, are you walking up to Luis Castillo even? I mean, I know like, you know, you came up last year, you guys seem to be, you know, buddies. I see you BSing on the top step of the dugout for sure. But even with him, like, are you comfortable enough to walk up to Luis Castillo and be like, hey man, listen, this is what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
wow.
It doesn't happen often. he's great, but there wouldn't be any issue there. He's open to anything as well, and, you know, really laid back, and he'll help anybody out, and he's definitely one that would take some help as well if he needed it.
Yeah, he seems that way, man. I had Woody on here a couple of weeks back, and Woody's kind of like my go-to anytime I got questions, and man, he grills you guys. It's unreal. No, I'm just kidding. But what does Pete Woodworth, what has he done for you? I know, you know, as a pitching coach, man, I had some really good, really impactful pitching coaches in general, but then I had some pitching coaches too, even at the major league level, who just like to like tinker and try and make changes constantly to put their like stamp. But Pete Woodworth, man, I just feel like he does such a good job. And this has gone back before your time, even when you first burst on the scene. What has he meant for you in regards to getting you to this place where you're at right now?
Yeah, I think he's really good at, like, I don't think really any of us on the staff would like a coach that does a lot of the tinkering and stuff. I think our whole staff is really good at, like, if I need something, I can go to them and help, or get help. But like, it's really small adjustments, and like knowing that it's a long season and trying to adjust on the fly, like I did last year. You know, the first half of my season last year, I was 90% fastball or whatever.
Yeah.
And just knowing that like that isn't sustainable, and like trying to plan out for how to adjust whenever they did adjust, and then making the adjustments through the off season. Like they were, Trent and Woody were helping me out with that as well, and just kind of knowing like what the plan needed to be and what my goals needed to be. But yeah, I think they're really good at like knowing all five of us, or you know, every pitcher on the staff, knowing how they respond and what they need, you know, what they need on a daily or a weekly basis or a monthly basis to make adjustments if you need to, or to just stay where you're at. So that's where they've helped me out quite a bit, and like just keeping a routine and, you know, staying true to myself. 'Cause like last year it was, sometimes it'd be hard for me to like come off of a bad outing and feel like I'd come off of a bad outing last year and feel like I needed to change a bunch of stuff and be like, you know, the fastball got hit a bunch last week. Like I need to develop three off speeds this week and figure out how to, you know, get batters out. And they're like, no, you know, that you trust what got you here, and make minor adjustments off of it. And so I'd say that was one of the main parts that they helped with last year.
You know what, man? I was doing an Apple game. You were pitching against the Royals. This is would have been, I don't know, what, August maybe? I don't know. Maybe August last year. And they came in, and you know, MLB Network people come in who were producing the Apple game, and they're awesome, man. They work so hard on you know, a lot, just getting all the everything ready to research for the game. And they were so hell bent on profiling your fastball at the top of the strike zone, because you mentioned it, right? You were like 90% fastballs, but literally like the week or so prior to that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you all of a sudden start, it wasn't where you were, I don't think you were throwing the two seamer at that point. I don't know. Were you throwing the two seamer at that point?
I'm not sure. I added it at the end of last year, but I'm not sure if I had it for the Royals.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, but your pitch usage completely changed like a good couple starts before that. And I said to him, like, I went into the truck and they're like, hey, these are the graphics we're going to use for Bryce Miller. And I said, that's great, but you know, like, you know, I was talking to Woody about this. He's made these massive adjustments. Like, can we talk more about how adaptable this dude is? Because he's a rookie right now, and you just don't see that. Usually a situation happens where you come in and you just got this electric fastball. We all knew that. I was crapping on about it every single day. And then all of a sudden, yeah, look, the leagues, so they get a book on you and they start cheating a little bit more. And then you start adapting to that and start, you know, switching up what you're doing. So I tried to make it. I remember calling, doing that game in the booth. And I remember trying to like switch it up to be, hey, like this is what he's doing now. And you did, man, like that, even that game too, because you started to. And I remember you mentioned this to me as well early on. I think it was in a scrum or something, like a media scrum. But the biggest adjustment, and this is something too, and you can talk about arm injuries and everything else, but in the minor leagues, you're literally pitching once a week, right? I mean, you go on, you know, once every 7 days. Then all of a sudden, you transition into it's like literally every fifth day. And if you're doing well, you're getting pushed harder in that last 20 pitches of your outing, right? So that was that big adjustment, right? Coming to the big leagues and that adrenaline pumping through you and going, and you were pretty transparent about it. I remember you made some comments saying that it is a huge adjustment trying to stay 100% every fifth day, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's, I remember last year, like at the end of the year, I was getting up there in innings, and I was at a point, like especially at the end of the year last year, where I was over my career high in innings. And one of the things I was struggling with was like being able to hold velo like past
Right.
the 70 pitch mark, especially since I was throwing so many fastballs. Like my velo needed to be, you know, still 95, you know, in the 80, 90 pitch range. And when I didn't have other pitches to fall back to, like when the velo dipped, then I would get in trouble.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was, you know, making the adjustment of, you know, keeping my body ready for the 5 days, and also, you know, in a spot where I'd never been, you know, at around 150 innings total on the
Yeah,
year.
right.
And so, yeah, it was definitely, you know, it was a struggle, and it was something that I needed to get through and learn through. And I think, you know, going into this off season, I knew like I needed to, we kind of did a little bit of a different, throwing program this year, and so far, like my velo's held steady through all my games, and my arm and my body feel really good. I think it also helps not having to throw 70 fastballs at max effort throughout the game. So that I think that also helps. But yeah, it's been an adjustment, and it's I'm really happy with where we're at right now.
Hey, you noticed I haven't asked you about your split at all? I'm doing that on purpose. But hey, by the way, it's like I was paying attention. I don't really have like TikTok, but I do watch some of your videos. You had a couple in the winter, you know. Real quick, just on Pete Woodworth, you mentioned, you know, during the off season, you know, checking in. How does that work? Like, is that just something where you guys are on a chat or something and he's checking in? He's obviously not with you in a winter, but you said him and Trent, like, you know, kind of checking up and creating that program. You know, you basically do that remotely, right? I mean, what do they check in, like once a week, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we had like our exit meeting. That was once the season ended, I took like 4 weeks where I didn't throw. And so there wasn't like too much of a rush to get the meeting in. But we had like my season debrief exit meeting, probably like a month into the off season. But going into it, like before I even left Seattle, I kind of was talking to Trent and to Woody and just trying to figure out like what I wanted to do, like if I wanted to go to driveline, or if I wanted to, you know, try to add a cutter or a splitter or curveball or what. And we kind of consensus was kind of to go the splitter way. And just 'cause I figured, you know, looking back at last season, lefties on the season hit like 300 on me and righties hit like 200. So, that was the clear path, was to give me something to help with the lefties. And then other than that, like just try to get my body in a better shape to be ready to go for 32 starts. And so yeah, it was, you know, after the 4 weeks of no throw, Trent would send me pretty much like my weekly throwing, and he'd have that set up for me for the next week. And we'd kind of discuss like how I was feeling or if I wanted to do more or less. But and then after that, like every week, he'd send me my schedule, and then probably twice a month or so, I'd talk to Woody and just kind of, you know, let him know how it's going. And then once the off season progressed and I was getting to where I was throwing splitters or like working on spin or getting off like a flat ground, then usually I'd shoot him a video over and show him, you know, how it's going. So it's especially whenever I'm adding a new pitch, it's fun to see it, like, because I was mainly at A&M throwing, and so I'd have the TrackMan where I'd have the metrics and stuff, so I could see, you know, what it was doing and how it was looking. And then I start, you know, trying to compare it to other guys in the league that was throwing splitters or anything, and seeing like I was looking at Senga's splitter quite a bit, just trying to see if I could get to that, like that action on it. And then I'd send it over to them, and they'd be like, "Yeah, it looks good. Just don't throw too many of them yet."
It was a man, and by the way, like I said, man, I'm all over. I'm watching your TikToks. I'm seeing in the back of the seats where it says the 12th man, which is right, Texas A&M, right? And the So I'm all over it. Now, I was watching the vids, that is for sure. But you mentioned driveline being an option. Was that, are you talking where you'd have to basically spend the winter in Seattle, or how would that work? Like, if you were like, okay, go to driveline, is it you go there for the assessment for 5 days, and then go home, do it remotely? How would that look?
Yeah, it was more of like when the season ended, like going over to driveline and doing a mocap and.
Like right when the season ends, right? Is that when you do it?
Yeah, that because, you know, my arm's already in shape and I could go
That
throw a
makes sense.
bullpen. And then, because then after that, I was going to shut it down. But just to what they do is you can go out and like do their assessment, and you can throw on their mound and stuff and throw all your pitches, and then they'll see like what areas you can improve on and maybe to try to add velo, or they can see which pitches that would work good with how I throw and that kind of stuff. But I think Logan did it the year before. But I had already not thrown for a couple of days because I didn't throw in the last couple I didn't throw in the last series against the Rangers, so
Gotcha.
I was ready to go back home and stuff. So and plus the Mariners have so much stuff that they have in their system, and I kind of already knew I wanted to do a splitter, so it was gonna be kind of like, I don't know, I didn't feel like I really needed to go over there, so
Fair enough.
it worked out. But
I spend quite a bit of time down there. I bring Australian kids over. We do the assessment of driveline, everything else. And it's funny, man. Last year during the season, I remember Jesse Winker. Was it last year or two? Sorry, 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Jesse Winker was like sneaking down there. They do like to figure his swing out and all this kind of stuff. And then last year, I remember they were telling me Chris Flexen went in there, who's no longer with the Mariners, but they were like trying to make some suggestions, saying, "Hey, look, based off a mocap, based off, when they get in the pitch lab and stuff like that." And he was just like, "Nope, not doing it." I'm like, "All right, no worries." He was just like, "Nope, I don't throw that pitch." They're like, "Hey, why don't we try this pitch?" I don't want to say what pitches. And he's like, "No, I don't throw that." And he was like, "All right, no worries, done." So yeah, it was interesting, man. But that place is wild, dude. Hey, listen, the split. Now Woody tells me that you were basically, not bugging him about it, but bringing it up to him at the end of last year, and he said that he walked down the line, you guys were playing catch, and you were throwing a split, and Woody was like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm just messing with you. Like, I'm just messing with the split." Is that true? Is that where it all kicked off?
Yeah, I think I one thing I like to do is I see, which they kind of get, they give me attitude about it sometimes, but like I'll watch other pitchers throw, and like if they have success with a pitch, usually I'll be like trying to zoom in on their grip or whatever and see how they throw it, and just I like to kind of mess around in catch play and just see if I can make the ball move in different ways. And so yeah, I remember, Logan was having success with it, and Kirby was having success with the splitter. And I remember I asked him, I'm like, "How do you throw that?" And then I was just messing around in the in catch play, throwing it, and yeah, I only threw a couple of them, and I think they were horrible. But yeah, Woody's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm just trying it out." But that was at the end of last year when I was kind of scrambling, and I think I ended up throwing like seven pitches last year, and they were all like, a lot of them were brief. Like I'd throw them for 2 weeks, and like there's a 2 week stretch where I was throwing a curveball, and I hadn't thrown a curveball since college. So, but
Messing
yeah.
all of us up, by the way. I remember that. I see. I remember that he stretched. I'm like, "Oh, now he's throwing this type of breaking ball." And it's just like you're trying to justify it, and you're not. Again, because it comes down to you're trying to figure all this out. Hey, listen, speaking of college, now I pulled up some videos of you on the old Perfect Game. See, this is good because watching these Perfect Game showcases and stuff like that, not watching them, but pulling them up, and you see the PG shirt and everything else. I saw a young, must have been in high school, must have been. I got to go back and see the video. Young, skinny Bryce Miller taking some reps out in the outfield. So, dude, could you hit? Like, was that a thing you were showcasing for college, as I take it, as a position player?
Yeah, so I never really, I mean, I started pitching, like actually pitching my senior year of high school.
Okay.
I threw, like I pitched growing up a little bit, but I always thought I was going to be play outfield and be a hitter. And I actually, like I was probably a few days away from committing to McNeese State down in Lake Charles. And I was gonna mainly play outfield there. They didn't really want me to pitch as much. They just, they left it open as an option, but it was mainly to
Is
play
that a four
outfield.
year, like a D1 4 year school?
Yeah, it's like a
Okay.
mid-major D1.
Gotcha.
They but yeah, my high school coach at the time, he when he was younger, he went to junior college, and then he ended up playing at UTSA. And he was the one that kind of talked me into going JUCO, and at the time it was going to be to be both and be a two-way. And then it didn't take long, I think, once I got to junior college, that they realized that pitching was where I needed to be. So I wasn't a two-way for very long.
Were you throwing? Is that because it's not because you couldn't hit, right? Is it, or maybe that is because what you're throwing hard? Like, how hard were you talking?
So I could swing it a little bit in high school, but I think my career would have been much shorter if I would have stuck with hitting. Once they started throwing harder and making the ball move,
Right.
it got difficult. But yeah, that my freshman year in junior college, I think the year before my senior year, I was like usually 88, 89. I think I got up to like 92.
Which is good, man. I mean, that's still for a high school kid. Like, people don't realize. They hear that, like, oh, yeah, because Bryce Miller throws 96 now. But that's still, dude, that's still legit. No
Yeah,
4-year schools with that?
no, I didn't have any.
Wow.
I had like one D3 that reached out to pitch. But yeah, no, there wasn't really anything. And that's how I ended up at junior college. And then my freshman year, I was closing, and actually, the hardest I threw that year was we were playing against San Jacinto, San Jack, and they're like one of the best junior colleges, but we're playing a doubleheader that day, and I closed the first game, and that was the first time I ever hit 95, was that first game. And then
Wow.
we won. I got the save. The next game rolls around a couple hours later, and I was back in there closing again, and I hit 96 the second game of the
Oh,
same day.
wow.
So
Out of JUCO.
that was the highest velo I hit in junior college, and it was on a two times in one day.
Right. And I don't want to get into, the spike here or anything, but what was it like? Because I mean, no offense, I'm watching you these their high school videos, maroon shirt. I don't know if you even know what I'm talking about. They're on Perfect Game, and you looked, because probably because I was watching the outfield reps first, and then you got on the mound, and you kind of look like a bit more of a, you look more like a two-way pitcher. You look like you had a good arm, obviously in high school, but ball was kind of spraying all over the place, and I'm like, this is not the Bryce Miller I'm used to seeing every day, that's for sure. No, it's awesome. I love hearing this, because so many kids, I work with young kids. I run a company. I bring kids over. One of them, Travis Bazana, he's probably going to be, top five pick in the draft this year. He came over with me, Aussie kid. But they always assume that, and even when I say go the JUCO route, is they assume that all these American kids throw 95, like a Bryce Miller. No, he threw 95 when he was, 17 years old, and he was always on the map. It's like, no. He's had this pathway. It's different. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I always threw hard from the outfield, and I always liked to long toss and do that stuff. And I threw a lot of guys out from the outfield, but I never just focused on pitching. And once I got to, where I had people that could direct me on the mound and I actually focused on it, then that's when things kind of took off. And I think, like, it was 96 my freshman year, or 92 my senior year of high school, 96 my freshman year, 97 my first year at A&M, and then a couple 98s at A&M. And I think my last year there I was up and got a 99. So it's kind of throughout my first 4 years of pitching, like, it just continued to progress.
Were you surprised when you were drafted in the fourth round? Were you like sitting around waiting, going, "Oh man, is this gonna happen or what?"
I kind of had a weird, like, I don't know, my draft year was weird. So I thought I was gonna get drafted in 2020. And then I was closing that year at A&M, and then COVID happened, and
Oh yes.
we only played 20 games, and the draft got shortened and everything. So I
Oh
ended up
yeah.
going back to A&M for my it was my senior year, but I was a redshirt junior because of COVID. And then that year was my first year starting. I hadn't started since high school, so that was my first year starting, and it was going really well, until our first conference series. We went to Florida. Whenever I came back, I got COVID. So that was whenever you had to do like the 10 or 14 day quarantine.
Yeah.
And so, in the middle of the season, I couldn't go to the field for like 10 straight days. And
Brutal.
I was sneaking up there at like midnight and turning the lights on the field. And I had my high school friend, I had him out there throwing with me just so I could keep throwing. But
Really? What, in the middle of what, Fortnite reps or something?
Yeah. But like, I couldn't work out or nothing, and I was just trying to keep my arm in shape. But after I got back, like I remember I threw a bullpen. I got cleared on Tuesday. I threw a bullpen Tuesday, and then I pitched that weekend.
Oh,
And
wow.
like I probably lost like 10 pounds. I was like,
Man.
it was my velo the rest of the year was down like 2 miles an hour. I was spraying the ball everywhere. I think I had a game against Mississippi State where I walked like seven dudes. And like I was pretty much after that, like the going into that year, it was already a question like if I was going to be able to be a starter. And then that kind of added more questions to it. And so it was, if I had a full season and it was a regular season, I think I would have gone higher than the fourth. But it is
Gotcha.
what it is. And like it all works out. 'Cause once I got to pro ball and I got with the Mariners and with all the analytics and everything that they had for me, like it just like I started to really take off quick.
Man, you certainly have taken off, that is for sure. Now, I love to sit here and say, oh, yeah, with I had all those analytics back in my day, I'd still be pitching, throwing 100. Like, that's true, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. But, Bryce, man, this has been fun. I really appreciate the time. I didn't want to keep you too long. And, man, it's been fun watching you to start 2024. I didn't think anything less, that's for sure. But, man, it's been fun, especially with that split, too.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a good time.